I want to ask your attention tonight to a passage of Scripture found in Isaiah chapter 41. I sat down this last week and began looking at some preparation for the lessons that I've been asked to teach at Camp Sunlight in a couple of weeks. COVID-19's brought about a lot of changes in terms of what can be expected, but death has brought about a lot of changes as well in the teaching this year. There'll be a change in the primary teaching this year because Sister Connie Millar and Brother Pierre had been doing that over the last few years, and she is at home with the Lord now. I was supposed to teach the juniors, and Brother Pat McCoy was going to teach the seniors, and everything was lined up. And Dylan was so badly injured, and Pat sent word that he would not be able to attend. So now, in the last couple of weeks, I'm going to be teaching the seniors, and Pierre's going to be teaching the juniors, and I'm not even sure who is going to be teaching the primaries at this particular moment. But my point in saying that is to ask you to pray. You know, camp is a good time. It's a very joyful time. Time all of us have some memories of. I've been going to church camps since I was about 7 years old, I think, when I attended my first one. That was back in the dark ages. A lot of faces have been brought into my life. A lot of experiences and support has been given to me over those years. I've had the opportunity to attend camp in Indiana. I've had the opportunity to attend camp in Tennessee. I've had the opportunity to attend camp in Georgia. And I've had the opportunity to attend camp as far. All of them have their differences, but all of them have one thing alike. And that is that the name of Jesus Christ stands at the head and at the center and under the foundation of all four of them that I've had the opportunity to attend. And so while the person who will be teaching may be shifted, the Holy Spirit who is doing the guide will remain the same. The Jesus who is to be taught will remain the same. And the Word that will be presented will remain the same. So I ask you to pray for the Lord's leadership upon those of us who will be undertaking this teaching. The verse that I want us to read tonight, well, I'm going to read 10 verses. The verse that's at the end of it is the verse that will be the theme verse for the camp. But as I began looking at that verse, there were some other things that began to fall in place that I want us to look at tonight before we look at some of the others in days to come. But I want you to read with me, first of all, from Isaiah chapter 41. We're going to read verses 1 through 10. Isaiah chapter 41, verses 1 through 10. Keep silence before me, O islands, and let the people renew their strength. Let them come near, then let them speak. Let us come near together to judgment. Who raised up the righteous man from the east, called him to his foot, gave the nations before him, and made him rule over kings? He gave them as the dust to his sword and as a driven stubble to his bow. He pursued them and passed safely, even by the way that he had not gone with his feet. Who hath wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, the first and with the last, I am He. In other words, who's done it? I'm the one that's done it. The isles saw it and feared. The ends of the earth were afraid, drew near and came. They helped everyone his neighbor, and everyone his brother, be of good courage. So the carpenter encouraged the goldsmith, and he that smoothed with the hammer, him that smote the anvil, saying, it is ready for soldering. And he that fastened it with nails, that it should not be moved. But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Thou, whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said to thee, thou art my servant, I have chosen thee, and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Those words sound familiar? How many times have you sung the hymn, How Firm a Foundation? You'll find those words of that 10th verse as one of the stanzas of the hymn that we sing, How Firm a Foundation. But you know, as you read that passage of Scripture, you'll notice that there are some changes in places in terms of emphasis. There's three different portions of that passage of Scripture. Now, the culmination of that is in Isaiah 41, verse 10, of course. That's the verse that we're going to be looking at. And that's the verse that most everybody remembers out of this passage of Scripture. For the Lord gives you the expression and says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Or be not dismayed, for I am thy God. Our English King James Bible says, for I am thy God, I will strengthen thee. The writer of the hymn said, I will give thee aid. Yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with my right hand. The writer of the hymn said, I will cause thee to stand. And I'm not saying that there's a discrepancy between the two. I'm saying that as a lot of times, those are the familiar expressions that grow out of our singing of that hymn. But I want you to look with me tonight, if you would, at the changes of emphasis that pass through this 10-verse section of Scripture. And I want to ask you a question. Who is the encourager for your life? Who is giving you encouragement? Look at Isaiah 41, verses 5, 6, and 7. 41, 5, 6, and 7. The isles saw it. The isles, or islands, is not just little dots of land in the middle of the ocean. It is a term that's used for nations. It is an idea of this group of people and this group of people and another group of people and ethnic backgrounds, nations of people. All of the nations saw it and feared, and the ends of the earth were afraid. They drew near and came. They helped everyone, his neighbor, and everyone said to his brother, be of good courage. So the carpenter encouraged the goldsmith, and he that smoothed with the hammer, him that smote the anvil, saying, it's ready for the soldering, and he fastened it with nails that it should not be moved. You read those verses, and that sounds like there's a group of people that are doing a good thing. We ought to encourage everyone, right? We ought to encourage one another. These people were encouraging one another. But I want to ask you to notice this passage and what's going on. You'll notice that the owls saw it. What was it that they saw? If you go back into the previous three verses, you'll find that what they saw was God doing what He willed and purposed to do. Now you read those verses and you would say, well, who is He really talking about? Who raised up the righteous man from the east? Called him to his foot and gave the nations before him and made him rule over the kings and gave him as the dust to his sword and as driven stubble to his bow. He pursued them and passed safely even by the way that he had not gone with his feet. Now, who's he talking about? Well, one, given the context of Isaiah's writing, you might say, well, he's talking about the Babylonians that are going to come out of the east to judge Israel, except for one problem. They weren't righteous. God never said they were righteous. In fact, God said they were a belligerent people. He used them as a tool to judge, but they were judged because of their wickedness. The understanding that I have in reading behind some commentators that have talked about these first passages of Scripture there in verse 41, he's talking about Abraham. The righteous man, Abraham, who believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness' sake. He called him out of Ur of the Chaldees and he said, you leave your father and you leave your home and you go to a land that I'm going to give you. Who called Abraham? God said, I called Abraham. How did God give the nations before him? Well, first of all, if you remember in the book of Genesis, there was a time when there were five kings that rose up against Abraham. And Abraham, with 300 servants from his own household, those five kings rose up and defeated the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and carried away Lot. And Abraham took 300 servants and defeated the five kings. And they became as dust to his bow. Their power was broken. God had said to Abraham that he would have a seed that would be a blessing to all nations of the earth, and that God would be his shield and his reward. And God said, now who did it? I did it. And verse 5, the nation, the owls, saw God's doings. And they feared what God was doing. And they began to encourage one another. You see, the encouragement that's here is not a good thing. The carpenter began to encourage the goldsmith. And the goldsmith began to encourage the man that hammered out the gold. And he began to encourage the ones that would solder it together. Now, what were they doing? They were building an idol. They were setting up their own religious system. They saw what God did. Oh, but we got our own God. You see, here it is. That's building. You remember Nebuchadnezzar made an idol in Babylon that was gold and it stood 90 feet tall? What I want you to see is the world has spent its history building its own system and encouraging one another in that system. Go with me over into Isaiah chapter 44, just a little further over in Isaiah's writing. Look at Isaiah chapter 44 and begin reading with me in verse 9. They that make a graven image are all of them, what? Vanity. Emptiness. They that make the graven image. The carpenter, the goldsmith, the solderer, the hammerer. Or we can come up with this beautiful image. We can come up with this magnificent representation of our God. And we'll follow Him. But all of them are vanity. And they're delectable things. They're pretty things. They're promising things. The things that they would use, the gold and the silversmith and the carpentry and the skill and the economy, those things that they used to promise against the God of heaven shall not profit. They see not, nor know, that they may be ashamed. Who hath formed a god or molded a graven image that is profitable for nothing? Behold, all his fellows. Notice that there's not just one person. There's a whole group of people that have the same idea. There's a whole system in this world that builds up and encourages. Now, we got to do it this way. This is the way to do it. It goes this way, and we got to build this, and we've got to add that. And it'll be delectable and appealing. Behold, all his fellows shall be ashamed, and the workmen, they are of men. Let them all be gathered together. Let them stand up. Yet they shall fear and shall be ashamed. The smith with the tongs both worketh in the coals and fashioneth it with hammers and worketh it with the strength of his arms. Yea, he is hungry and his strength faileth. His drink, he drinketh no water and is faint. Verse 13, the carpenter stretcheth out his rule. He marketh it out with a line. He fitteth it with planes, and he marketh, and I understand what he's saying. He smooths it out. He planes it out. And he marketh it out with a compass and maketh it after the figure of a man, according to the beauty of a man, that it may remain in his house. He heweth him down cedars and taketh the cypress and the oak, and he stretcheth for himself among the trees of the forest. He planteth an ash, and rain doth nourish it. Then shall it be for a man to what? To burn. For he will take thereof and warm himself. Yea, he kindleth it and baketh bread. Yea, he maketh a god and worshipeth it. He maketh it a graven image and falleth down thereto. He burneth part thereof in the fire. With part thereof he eateth flesh. He roasteth roast and is satisfied. Yea, he warmeth himself and saith, aha, I am warm. I have seen the fire and the residue thereof. After he cooks his meal, after he warms his body, he takes the same wood, the same earthly things, and at the residue thereof he makes a god. Even his graven image, he falleth down unto it and worshipeth it and prayeth unto it and saith, deliver me, for thou art my God. He goes on to say, they have not known nor understood, for he hath shut their eyes and they cannot see, and their hearts that they cannot understand. Isn't it interesting that God speaks of those who do the various parts of the work, and yet the materials that they use of the earthly things, they use the same material to cook dinner, to warm their body, and what they've used to burn, what they've watched burn up, they turn around and make a god. And yet they encourage one another. You see, brothers and sisters, the world around us has a system. Satan has a system in this world. Remember, Scripture tells us that we are not of this world. He sends us into the world to carry the message of Jesus Christ, but we're not of this world. Therefore, the world hates us. The world hates the name of Jesus Christ because He's not of this world. But they will encourage one another in order to build it and to make it strong and to raise it up and to make it delectable. But then you come to verse 8. Here's the shift. But thou, Israel. You see, here's the carpenter and the goldsmith and the hammerer and the solderer and all of the system that it takes to build the image and nail it in place. But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called thee from the chief men thereof and said to thee, Thou art my servant. I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. You see, brothers and sisters, when God brings us to understand that we are His children, it is that He has made choice of a people. It's not that we made Him our God. God made us His people. It's not that we imagined what He might be. It is that He revealed Himself to us, not only on the pages of His Word, but in the life of His Son. That He's the very express image of the glory of God. Now, the world does this, but you are my people. Oh, well, that's Israel. Well, just don't forget, Israel is the type of the elect family of God from every nation. That's why Paul said in the book of Ephesians when he wrote at Ephesus, which was a Gentile city, and he wrote to Gentiles as well as to Jews. He said that as God has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, God made choice of His people. God made His people out of every nation, every kindred, every tongue, every tribe of people. God has chosen and drawn His people to Himself. Then he comes to verse 10 and says, fear not, you belong to me. Now let me give you a broader context of why that encouragement is given to us. You see, man may encourage himself, but man encourages at man's level. When God gives us the encouragement, it's at a level that is all wise and all capable and all powerful. I'll take God's encouragement. He hadn't failed yet. Look what he says in Isaiah chapter 40. Back up in front. Go backwards a little bit, to Isaiah chapter 40. And look with me, several verses in this chapter, but look at verse 1. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. There's God's encouragement. Speak ye comfortable to Jerusalem and cry to her of Jerusalem. Well, that's that city, yeah. But you remember that in Hebrews chapter 13, Hebrews chapter 12, we're told that we are come not unto the mountain that quaked, but we are come to Mount Zion, the city of God, the church of the firstborn. Jerusalem is a type of the church, the highest city where God has put His name. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Look at this verse. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Sound familiar? Yeah, those are the words which were spoken of John the Baptist, who prepared the way of Jesus Christ. You see, the encouragement that God gives to His people is not in something that's nailed together with nails. It's not in something that's been hammered out, beaten of gold. It is of one who came born of a virgin. It is of one who was nailed, but He was nailed to a cross. And He stayed there about 6 hours. And they took Him down and put Him in a grave, and He stayed there 3 days. And He came. You see, He wasn't nailed in place and held up by man. He did exactly opposite of what man assumed that they could make Him do. Comfort ye my people. Look in verse 9. There it is. Got them out of order. Verse 9. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain, O Jerusalem, that bringeth good tidings. Lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto your cities of Judah, behold your God. Oh, the carpenter encouraged the goldsmith, and the goldsmith encouraged the hammerer, and the hammerer encouraged the solderer, and they tried to set up a God. But what God says is, I'm the one that's made choice of my people. You look at your God. Behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand, and His arm shall rule for Him. Behold, His reward is with Him, and His work before Him. He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with His arms and carry them in His bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Jesus said, I am the shepherd. I know my sheep. And then verses 28 through 31. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, and here's your encouragement, folks, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Well, if young men get tired and young men fall, what about us old folks? That's surely going to happen to us, isn't it? But you understand that all of the works of men come to naught. All of the works of men pass away. But, I love that word, but they that wait upon the Lord, behold your God. You look at all that fails and falters around you. You look at all that men prop up. But you look at what God has done. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. How many of you have heard this verse? They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now, isles of people, be silent. There we come back to the first verse of chapter 41. Be silent, world, and you let my people renew their strength from me. Who did all of this? God did all of it. The world was afraid of what He did, and the world has fought against Him all along. But be not afraid. Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called thee from the chief men thereof and said to thee, Thou art my servant. I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. You don't have to beat it out with a hammer. You don't have to nail it in place. You don't have to solder it together. I'm going to hold you by my hand, God says. Now, quickly, let's close with two other passages of Scripture from chapter 40. Verse 6. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth. The works of men fail, because the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. You see, the Lord will renew our strength, but the works of men will fail. But verse 25. To whom then will you liken me? Or shall I? To whom shall I be equal? Saith the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things that bring? Oh, they evolved. Oh, this one came from that. That one came from something else. And it just happened over millions and millions of years. No. Who created it? That bringeth their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might. For he that is strong in power, not one faileth. What sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, that my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over? Hast thou not known that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching his understanding. You see, folks, our works will fail. God won't. Who are you going to liken God to? What statue? What system? What economy? What political platform? What sports team? What superstar? What army are you going to make equal to God? I got news for you, folks. Pardon my good old Southern English, but there ain't one. Not one is equal to Him. Then we come back. They encouraged each other. From whom are we going to take courage? From the God who doesn't get weary? From the God who doesn't fail? From the God who is like all others? Or from a system that has to build its own way? We live in the middle of that system. And until the Lord comes back, we're going to live in the middle of that system. Because He sent us into that system to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. But my question to you tonight is, who is your encourager? From whom do you take your courage? Do you take it from those that take a whole system, or do you take it from the God who put it in place, who called you out of it, and who does not fail? Joshua said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. May God help us to take our encouragement from the one who says to us, be not afraid. Lord, thank you for the revelation of your word. Thank you for the power that you have manifested. Thank you that as the world looks upon you and becomes concerned, they try harder and harder and harder.